Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
John in chapter 12, we'll read that this morning, just a few verses. I'll pray and then you can sit down. John and chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, I got to at least make this statement. What a supper that must have been. And Martha and Mary, their heart is overflowed. There's their brother Lazarus. Man, he was dead. And now he's sitting up and taking nourishment. And here's Jesus at the same table. It says in verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. It's the best she could do. It's all she could do. She could not contain herself. There she was in the presence of her master, who had raised her brother from the dead. And the sweet smell of the sweet Son of God filled the room. Verse 4 says, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? There's always a critic. There's always someone that could have done it better. Why didn't somebody consult me in this? I'm the treasurer. Why didn't somebody consult me in this? Verse 6 says, this said he, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had to beg and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. And Lord, I know there are heavy hearts here this morning. A lot of concerns. Lord Jesus, all of us, we go through that at one time or another. I pray their loads would be lifted as they approach your feet, as they approach Mount Calvary this morning, and realizing and recognizing and remembering how good you are. God, if there's someone here that isn't born again, we pray that this would be the day of their salvation. And God, for those that are in the saddle, they're serving you right now, they're busy, strengthen them and encourage them. And may we all find joy in the presence of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Glad you're here this morning. About a third of us missing with spring break and all, but boy, I praise God for you being here this morning. I'm going to do my best in preaching the Word of God, and I want to encourage you this morning as best I can. And John, in chapter 12, Jesus eats this meal prepared by Martha and Mary, and Lazarus is there. And while they're there together, Jesus tells them about Calvary. And then right after that, it's the triumphal entry. And then after that, he tells them about his resurrection. He tells what's going to happen later on in the chapter. He just continues to prepare the people of God for what is going to come. But I just want to lift a couple of verses out. Look at verse 20. We read of some Gentile people here that are hungry for Jesus. I love their heart. I love this statement. I love their spiritual hunger. Some were following Christ because of the miracles. We skipped those verses, but that's actually in this chapter. But here were some Gentiles. They wanted Jesus. It says in verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them. These aren't Hellenistic Jews. These are Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came before, therefore, to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. If you read the way this is grammatically put together here, what they're saying very politely, they come and they find Philip and they say, please, sir, we would see Jesus. We want to hear Jesus. on the pulpit up here in this piece of leather that covers the top part of the pulpit are stamped these words right from this text. So every preacher that steps into the pulpit sees these words, sir, we would see Jesus. What I'm going to try to do this morning is just rehearse and remember who Jesus is. We're not going to look at a specific passage of Scripture. We're going to look at many passages of Scripture. What I want to do this morning is brag on Christ. I want you to know who he is. I want you to know how great he is. Our amazing Savior, the very Son of God, deity, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, came down to this earth and provides salvation for every sinner who will come to him. If you will just come to him like these Greeks came to him, sir, we would see Jesus. Sir, I want to know you. Sir, and what we want to do, this is the job of the church, is to exalt Jesus Christ. Jesus, while he was here on this earth, in his 3-year ministry, performed 36 miracles that were recorded. And I say that recorded very distinctly because he did more than what was recorded. But we have the Word of God and that which God wants us to know about, and nobody's to add to it, take away from it. I better say this. There are no lost books of the Bible. There's no lost letters of Paul. That is not the case. And the book of Revelation says you don't add anything to it and you don't take away anything from it. But we have 36 recorded miracles by the Son of God while he was here on this earth. 39 parables were taught by Jesus. 7 sayings on the cross. 10 times he appeared in his resurrected body after the resurrection. 19 prayers of Christ were recorded, and he suffered 15 different kinds of suffering while he was here on this earth. John chapter 21 and verse 25 says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. If they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world could not contain the books that should be written. And then John says, amen. So the fact is, our Savior is a miraculous, wonderful, amazing God. If somehow I could get you to know him, you would love him. If somehow I could get you to understand what he can do for you, you would run to him. If I could get you to comprehend what he desires to do for your family, man, you wouldn't let anything come between you and the Savior. Man, you go to him with arms open wide, Lord Jesus, here I come. Man, if somehow, some way, in this partial preaching of this topic this morning, you would understand who he is. I want Jesus Christ to be the talk of the town. I want people at Walmart talking about Jesus. People at Meijer talking about Jesus. I want people in the restaurants and the coffee shops talking about Jesus. I want people around the table talking about Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It is our job as individuals, New Testament Christians, to exalt Jesus Christ. It's the job of Fundamental Baptist Church to lift him high. Not just the word Jesus, not just the name Jesus, but who he is and what he did and what he's going to do. The very Son of God. And that's, I want to just share a few things this morning about Jesus. I hope and I pray that you'll have some understanding concerning Christ and a better love and a better appreciation for who he is and what he's done. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. Let's all turn over there. Exodus 3:14. And I'm going to have you to turn to different passages of Scripture this morning. Not a lot, but you need to warm your fingers up just a little bit. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. And this morning, let us rise above politics and world events and self-service, and let's exalt Jesus, and let's understand who he is. Verse 11 says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token to thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? When the Israelites, when the Hebrews say, what's the name of this God that said, you're to lead us out, you're to deliver us? When they ask me, what am I supposed to say? Verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. No greater words in the Bible. I am that I am. Over 300 times from Genesis and chapter 2 to Revelation and chapter 22, he refers to himself as the great I am. Over 300 times. You say, what does that mean? Well, let me finish reading the verse first. Verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. He is the all-sufficient one. He is the self-sufficient one. He is the eternal, everlasting, forever one. He is the very God. He doesn't need anybody. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need the earth's air that he created. He is the absolute God. There was no one before him. He is Elohim, the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Moses said, when I go to Pharaoh, when I go to the children of Israel and say, I'm here to deliver you, and God told me to come, what do I say? What's your name? What do I say? And I am that I am. And you pick that apart. You decipher that. You look at what that is really saying. He doesn't need anybody, doesn't need anything. He is the absolute God. Let me share some things about Jesus Christ. Number one, he is perfect. He's perfect. Isaiah chapter 6. Please turn over there. Isaiah and chapter 6. We got something wrong with the monitors this morning. And that's good. It's all good. Just look her up, all right? Isaiah and chapter 6. Isaiah, Jeremiah, here we go. Chapter 6. And I know you're familiar with some of this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. These are angels. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Man, there's no way, humanity, there's no way you and I cannot put my mind around holiness, because everything I know is tainted. Paul referred to himself as a wretch. That's exactly who we are. And for any of us to think that somehow, if you think you can get to God's perfect heaven in your filthy rags of self-righteousness, you need to understand you aren't going to get one foot towards heaven. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's a holy God. We're children of Adam. We are a broken, imperfect, filthy people. Psalm 99 and verse 9. Turn back to the Psalms. We'll look at a lot of Psalms here this morning. Psalm 99 and verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. He is holy. Man, I have a hard time, even when I meditate upon God's word, to see God for who he really is. Because everything I know is broken. Everything I know is tainted. How many of you sin when you don't plan on sinning? Man, I'm there all the time. And I don't mean just sin by act. I mean in my head, in my heart. I can't attain unto his holy hill. The holiness of God, man, it's just as hard for me to understand. Now, understand this. Salvation, you come as you are. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Revelation chapter 22. You come to Jesus. Just as I am, I come. You know, a lost sinner, just as I am. Salvation is free. Service, now that costs something. And here's what's going on in the world today. And we got to be careful it don't happen in our hearts or in this place. Jesus takes us just like we are. He takes us, cleans us up. We're born again. We're a member of the family of God. And then we say, okay, I love the world. I want to live in the world and I want to serve you. Come on down to me, Jesus. You come down to me. That's not how it works. You don't understand the holiness of God. That's why people can get saved and have their name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life and live just like the world, and nothing ever happens in their life as far as eternal good. They're not soul winners. They're not leading people to Christ. They don't have the power of God upon their life. It's because they got saved. That's just as I am, I come. That's me coming to Him. He invites me, I come. Man, there I am, I'm saved. And then afterwards, service. Now I got to clean myself up. There's some responsibility here. If I'm going to grow in grace, I'm going to read the Word of God, I'm going to see things wrong in my life, and I'm going to make some changes. It isn't Jesus, you come down to me. That's not how that works. That's what He did at Calvary. That's what He did so we could be born again. But as far as service, serving Him, man, He's perfect. He is holy. He knows everything. Psalm 147. Great is the Lord and of great power. His wisdom is infinite. He is so far above me. I'm talking about my Jesus. I'm talking about the best friend I have. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I know Him. His name is Jesus. He listens to me. I approach His throne boldly because of the righteousness of Himself, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And He's my great high priest. And I come to Him with my needs and with fellowship. And I read my Bible and He feeds me the bread of life. And it's a wonderful life. But the fact is, I don't understand all that He understands. And there's plenty of texts I can take you to in the Word of God to tell you I don't have to understand everything. Who in this world can understand election? Who in this world can understand that with the great Bible truth of whosoever will may come? You can throw some words on it. You can throw some terminology on it. But if you're honest, you don't understand it either. I just know there's a great God in heaven who it's His will that every sinner come to Christ. And He knows who's going to get saved because He's God. What a wonder, but I can't get my mind around that. God is omniscient. He knows everything. Jesus Christ. God doesn't think in a linear fashion like you and I do. That's what we do as humans. God is before time. He knows the past, He knows the present, and He knows the future all at the same time. You realize when Jesus died on the cross, I hadn't even been born yet. I didn't even sin yet, but He died for me. He died for me. He knew I was going to call upon Him. He knew I was going to get born into the family of God, and He died for me. And after I got saved, man, I still got, you know, if Jesus tarries, I sin again. Tomorrow's another day. And He knows that, and He invites me to Himself. Boy, it is great to be part of the family of God. Don't think you have to have everything figured out. I'm thinking of Job this morning, where God tells Job, when Job asks some questions, God just basically tells Job, you don't need to know that, Job. You're not capable. Were you there when I created the earth? You just follow me. That's the life of faith. Man, I love it. He's perfect. He's holy. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows my past. He knows my future. Nothing ever occurs to God. Nothing ever catches Him by surprise. Great God of heaven. He is everywhere. That means He's omnipresent. Go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. You're probably still in the Psalms. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, maybe all the way down to verse 19. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Listen, Jonah, you can't run from God. You can't run far enough. And you can't eliminate God from your thinking, from the world, from your life. Can't happen. He is everywhere. Psalm 139 and verse 7 says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the earth, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. He said, and then he goes on and talks about even in my mother's womb. You knew me. You've always known me. That's the God of heaven. He is everywhere. Go to John in chapter 1 and verse 48. John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 48. Stay with me. John chapter 1 verse 48. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus has confronted Nathanael. And Jesus says, there's an Israelite in whom is no guile. And Nathanael says, how do you know me? And whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Because he knew him. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Jesus is everywhere. Chapter 4 and verse 29, the woman at the well said, going right back into the city and said, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. He can do it all. Psalm 89, go back there. Psalm 89. Let me hear those pages turning. Psalm 89. See, that'll give me time to get there as well. Psalm 89 and verse 11. He's omnipotent. Omnipotent. Colossians 1, 15 through 19, by him all things consist. Psalm 89, verse 11, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. He can do it all. He has no limits except how we limit him. That's another sermon. That's Psalm 78. God won't force himself on us. God isn't going to do in our lives things that we don't allow him to do. But if we would just follow him, if we would allow him to shepherd us, he has great things planned for your life. He has great days planned for this old man's life. He has great things planned for this church, great things. If we just have a little bit of faith, size of a mustard seed, if we just follow him the way we ought. I'm talking about Jesus this morning. The fact that he's holy, the fact that he's omniscient, he knows everything, the fact that he's everywhere, he's omnipresent, and he's omnipotent, he can do it all. He's immutable, he never changes. Psalm 33 and verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. James 1:17, I read this week, never thought about it in light of this. The Father of lights in whom is no variableness. That's our Jesus. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 5. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Go to Psalm 93. Psalm 93, probably just a page over from where you were. Verse 2. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. That is verse 2. He is forever. He is never going to change. He is immutable. He's not going to pull the rug out from underneath us. He's not going to chop us off at the knees. We're not going to get to heaven. And 10,000 years from now, God's going to stand up and say, I got to change your plans. Now you're going to have to earn your keep here. Now you're going to have to, in order to stay saved, you got to do right every day. That's not how it's going to happen. He's never changing. He's God. The I am that I am. He wills it this way. You can count on Jesus. I have done God wrong. I have done my Savior wrong again and again and again. But he's never forsaken me. He'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow holds. No matter how deep the water, how hot the fire. You got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to exalt him this morning. I want to lift him high. I want everybody here to know he's my best friend. I've got good friends on this earth. I've got a lot of good friends here at Fundamental Baptist Church. I think some of you, if it ever came to it, I think you'd die for me. I feel the same about you. I've got good preacher friends all over the state and all over the nation. And the truth is, I think we would take a bullet for one another. But I got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. He's never, ever going to let you down. And he's a friend of sinners. Don't turn there, but in Mark in chapter 2 and verses 13 through 17, we read of a tax collector named Levi. Jesus said, I'm going to your house today. Levi, and Jesus sat down and he ate with the publicans and the sinners. And the religious leaders accused him. Said, man, we're out here, the religious crowd, and he's eating with publicans and sinners. Jesus is a friend of sinners. It's a good thing. I wouldn't make it without Christ. God is good to me. Let me tell you how good he is. I got a home in heaven. I got an inheritance that fadeth not away. It's never going to change. I'm going to be there forever one day. God fills my cup to overflowing. I echo the psalmist. I echo the sweet psalmist of Israel. My cup overflows. God blesses me every day of my life. Yesterday is my birthday. Got this family chat thing going on. I wouldn't know how to do it except somebody put it on my phone. And there's, I don't know how many people are on this family chat. So everybody's wishing me happy birthday, my kids, my grandkids. And you know what? I was just rejoicing yesterday. It was just Deb and I at home yesterday. We didn't do much, truthfully, yesterday. She wouldn't. I got to the end of the day. I'm in my easy chair and I'm reading. And I said, Deb, you know what I want? It's my birthday. I want a Coke. I want a real Coke. Would you go get me a, she wouldn't go get me, it's my birthday. She wouldn't go down the store and get me my Coke. Truth is, she did end up doing it, didn't you?
Yeah, but I got a Diet Coke.
Yes, you got a Diet Coke. I didn't even drink it yet. I was so mad. I said, that's a Diet Coke. I hate that stuff. It's in the fridge right now. But God is good to me. I look at my kids, even my sons-in-laws. One of them texted back, you are so blessed that some sons-in-laws came into your life and took your daughter so you don't have to pay for them anymore. I said, amen. That's a fact. My grandkids, my great-grandkids, some of them are here this morning. My heart overflows. I'm like that. You know. That's what John said. You know, when you see your children walking in the truth, man, that just wow. It just kind of overflows. God is good to me in so many levels. I never thought I'd see 66 years of age. Man, I should have been dead multiple times over. But God is good. And had I my life to live over again, I'd have chose Christ even earlier. And I'd done my best not to fail him as often as I did. I've been places. I'm a country boy. Other than my college years, I never left the Upper Peninsula. Man, this is exactly who I am and where I'm from. You know, yesterday, day before yesterday, maybe it was 2 days before, I was interviewed on two Chicago radio stations. I got to give out the gospel. On the way home, a station from below the bridge, from down below, I was interviewed, and I got to give the gospel. Man, I'm just thinking, and people texted into the radio station. Here's a guy texted in from Petoskey. It's a live radio program. Texted in from Petoskey and told the guy that was in the radio station, hey, is this the Tim Raider that played football at Pickford? And he said, he gave his name and said, I'm from Detour, and I played football against you. And here he is. You know, the connections, the fact that God is so good, so good. Now, I started, here's what I wanted to say. No desire to go to California. I see Joey's here this morning. I got to go to Santa Clara, California, all expenses paid, first class. Never rode first class anywhere in my entire life, never. You know, just enjoyed the trip out, enjoyed the time there, enjoyed the trip back. They said it was cold. I didn't think it was cold at all. I thought it was wonderful, all right? And then last night, out of the blue, I get a phone call from a man out of the state. He said, are you interested in going to the Holy Land? I said, yeah, I've always wanted to, but I'm not. There's no way. I'm not going to pay $5,000 or $6,000 to go to the Holy Land. I'm going to put it in our building fund. He said, next year after Thanksgiving, the week after Thanksgiving, you want to go? I'll pay your way from New York. I think, well, and he knew what I was thinking. He said, I know what you're thinking. How are you going to get to New York? I'll pay your way from Kinross. I said, well, I might be interested in going. It's a long time on a plane. Is it first class? No, I didn't ask him that. God is good to me. That was just something on my bucket list that I'm never going to pay for. You know, I hope this doesn't mean I'm going to die pretty quick. I don't know. God, if you knew Christ, if I could explain him to you, young people, if I could explain to him the difference of spending your life following God and spending your life serving yourself, you would never choose the way away from God. You would take the narrow way that leads unto life eternal. You would take Jesus every single time. You're struggling in your home, you're struggling in your family. If I could explain to you what God wants for your family, why don't you sell out to him? Why don't you give him everything you have?
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Raider, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Raider will bring you Good News from the Good Book.